الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى said ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said that for a human being, for a person, there is nothing more than what he works for. I remind myself and you, we are coming to a close of these best days of the year, the first 9 days, 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Today, in some parts of the world, it is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, the Yawm al-Arafah. Here it is the 8th, inshallah, tomorrow it will be the 9th. Allah did not say that for you, the benefit is equal to how much you know. Allah said, for you, the benefit is equal to how much you do. And this is important. For example, before Dhul-Hijjah started, we were given reminders to say that the fasting of one of these days is equal to the fasting of the full year. And then we were told that the fasting of Yawm al-Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, is the expiation of sins of 1 year before and 1 year after. Now, question is, simply knowing this, is it going to help us? Or do we actually have to fast? What do you think? So, how many of us, having known this, fasted for these 8 days or 9 days? I'm not asking you to tell me this, that is between you and Allah. But the reality is this. The reality is that we had an opportunity, some of us took advantage of it, others, knowing the benefit, still did not take advantage of it. And of course, shaitan comes in the way, and shaitan tells you many things. For example, shaitan will tell you that this hadith of Tirmidhi has one narrator who is considered to be weak. Therefore, this hadith is not sahih, and this hadith is to some extent daif. So now, shaitan is using the knowledge of hadith to prevent you from doing something which is good. Yeah. Then shaitan will also come to you and say, but you know, you are going to college and you are studying and this and that and the other, and if you are fasting, then you will feel weak. I never heard this in my life. I mean, I tell you, they're amazing. Let us understand, they see, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba were tough people. And they didn't get tough by going to Talwalkar's gym and pumping weights. They didn't look tough, they were tough. How do you think? I mean, we hear so many stories, isn't it, that these people, they were digging the trench for the battle of Ghazwatul Ahzab, for the battle of Khandaq, and they were digging that trench with two stones, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had three stones tied on his belly. Have you ever tried this? How many of the stories from the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba have we heard where these people we know that they went without food for 3 days at a stretch. 3 days at a stretch. But it did not weaken them. In that 3 days without food, they did not miss one salah, they did not miss tahajjud, in some cases they were actually fighting battles. They were traveling, and traveling is they were not, going on Emirates Airlines. They were walking in the desert. Yeah, they were also human, no? They were human. Was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam anything other than human? Were the Sahaba anything other than human? They were human. So how come we cannot live without food for 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours? Having eaten before that and going to eat after that, these 8-10 hours we feel weak. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What weakness is this? This weakness is in the head. It's not physical weakness. It's in the head from shaitan. Nothing else. Pure and simple. I want to remind you and myself that deeds, the reward for deeds is by doing them, not by knowing about them. We can know all about the fadail of praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid, but unless we go and actually pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid with the jamaat, you are not going to get even one fazilat out of all the fadail that we know. We have to actually do that thing. So also with these 9 days. Whatever is lost is lost. At least minimum, alhamdulillah, we are 1 day behind, so we got 2 days left. The people who are, you know, 1 day ahead, they have only today. Let us make sure that we get the maximum benefit of these days. Try to do as much ibadah as possible, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best ibadah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala likes the best of good deeds during which are done during these days. The Sahaba said, what about jihad fi sabilillah? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even jihad fi sabilillah. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala likes the deeds of these days even better than jihad fi sabilillah, except in the case of the one who went out in jihad and he never came back. So unless the person is shahid fi sabilillah, if he goes in jihad and he comes back, which is a good deed of the highest order, any other deed which is done during these days, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is superior to that. So I remind myself, I ask myself, and I ask you to ask yourself, how many additional good deeds did we do in these days? Not the usual. Usual do we do, alhamdulillah. What more? And the reason why we did not do them, if we did not do them, is because of our own weakness of iman. Because if we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have iman in the promises of Allah and the promises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how can we not take advantage of this opportunity after knowing about it? If we did not know, it's a different matter. But we knew. We knew. Despite knowing, if we did not do it, it is a sign of weakness of iman. So number one thing to do is first to make a lot of tawbah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are refusing a ni'mat of Allah. So make a lot of tawbah and say, oh Allah, I make tawbah, forgive me for treating these days without the importance that was due to them. You gave this ni'mat to me, but I rejected this ni'mat. I did not take advantage of this ni'mat. What is the meaning of it? If you got the days and you didn't take advantage, that means you are rejecting the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala in kafartum, inna azabi la shadid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who refuses my ni'mat, the one who is ungrateful, let him beware that my azab is shadid, that my punishment is very severe. So first and foremost, make tawbah. All of us need to make tawbah. Let us not believe that the one who has fasted all these days is sitting on some mountain. No. Every one of us needs to make tawbah. That we have not taken full advantage of these deeds. Those who did not even fast, those who did not even do, well, Allah knows what. We did not do the good deeds that we could have done. Then we need to make tawbah even more. So let us make a lot of tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for not taking advantage of these days. And still, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gave us 1 day or 2 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us hayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability to take advantage of these days. Go and look at the people in the hospitals. You must do this. You must actually do this as an exercise on a regular basis. Go to hospitals and meet people. Take some, fruits or take some flowers or something for them. Strangers, no problem, but go and meet them. Why? First of all, for iyadat, it's a good deed to do. Plus, so that you can make shukr to Allah, oh Allah, I am not lying in this bed instead of this man or instead of this woman. Because I could have got all the good days of Dhul Hijjah, but if I was lying in the bed in hospital with, saline and so on being pumped into me, then even if I had all the desire in the world to fast, I could not have fasted. I could have all the desire in the world to go and pray salah by jamaat, but I could not have gone. It is only by your rahmah that you decreed that I am in a physical condition to be able to do this. Now, after being in a physical condition, still I don't do it. What do I do with myself? What should we do with that? So that's the reason I'm saying, go and see. Alhamdulillah, Allah did not put you in that situation. Allah could have put you and me in that situation. He did not. He gave us the strength. He gave us the ability to come and worship Him and to do some things for our own sake. We do the thing and the thing does not benefit Allah. It benefits us. So let us make sure that we make tawbah and we take full advantage of these 1 or 2 days which are left to ensure that we get the maximum out of this, inshallah. We have no idea whether we will get another 10 days of Dhul Hijjah next year. No, none of us can say this with certainty. What is the good of saying this over and over again? And then when somebody says this and we say, yes, it's very true, you know, subhanAllah. Is if you really believe that, then what prevents you from doing what you should do now? Otherwise, this is nifaq. On the face of it, you say, yes, I believe. On the other hand, when you look at the deeds, it is not there. So what belief is this? What belief is this? So let us not fall into this trap of nifaq. This is from shaitan. Let us make tawbah and let us ensure that we do not lose the advantage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Nobody can put barakah in something except Allah. We cannot decree for ourselves that January 1st to the 10th is the best day of the year. We are no one to decree that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that He gave some barakah in a particular, at a particular time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made Jum'ah the best day of the week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's His rahmah that during Jum'ah He kept a sa'ah, a time when any dua which is asked is accepted. It is His barakah, it is His rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints angels who stand by the door of the masjid, and the one who comes early, his name is written in a register and his sins are forgiven. And when the khutbah starts, the angels close their books and come. Of course, the person who comes even after that, alhamdulillah, his salah is valid, but his name is not in that register, and therefore the forgiveness of his sins, Allah knows best whether they are forgiven or not. We know all of this. So what time do you go for Jum'ah? In the second rakat of the, before the ruku of the second rakat. Forget the khutbah. Allah Kareem. Now let us be very clear, alhamdulillah, that let us try to ensure that we, whatever knowledge we have, that knowledge must be practiced. We have got far too many people today who have a lot of knowledge, but that knowledge is not put into practice. We have a lot of knowledge, and that knowledge is used by shaitan to twist their own minds and to justify wrongdoing and to justify laziness and to justify not taking advantage of the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. That knowledge, instead of leading them towards Jannah, that knowledge becomes a means of blocking their path towards Jannah and illa mashallah of actually leading them towards Jahannam. Because of the knowledge, they justify wrongdoing, they find excuses for doing things which they know they should not be doing, and as a result of that, obviously, they get into trouble, and what happened to them is because of their knowledge. Because of the knowledge. That should not be the purpose of knowledge. Knowledge is supposed to lead us to Jannah, not in the opposite direction. So let us make sure that we don't allow this to happen. And how can we ensure that our knowledge leads us to Jannah? By having that knowledge coupled with taqwa. Taqwa does not come alone with knowledge. Please understand this very clearly. Let us not fool ourselves. If taqwa was an automatic result of having knowledge, then Iblis would have been the biggest muttaqi in the world. Iblis didn't have any shortage of knowledge, right? He had a lot of knowledge, but he did not have taqwa. Taqwa does not come. Taqwa comes with actually understanding, with connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge alone does not bring taqwa. Knowledge, the amal, the acting on the knowledge is what brings taqwa. And therefore, let us make sure that we have knowledge coupled with taqwa. If I learn one thing, let me practice it. Then only will I get taqwa. And that taqwa is the safety net which prevents us from the wrong effect of knowledge. Nothing is wrong with knowledge. Nothing is wrong with a sword. But the same sword, if you don't handle it carefully, will cut you. The same sword will cut you. Because it's not to say my sword will not cut me. Your sword will chop your neck easy. I mean, a sword is a sword. Right? It has to be handled carefully. It has to be kept in a scabbard, and it has to be drawn in the way it should be drawn. And that scabbard and that the way it is to be drawn is the taqwa. It ensures that this knowledge does not prove harmful to you. Today we have people who gather knowledge from all over the place. You know, they learn this from here, learn that from there. No taqwa, no application of the knowledge, and that knowledge is what leads them down the wrong path. If you think about it, all the people who created major fitan in this deen, major fitna. Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, for example, very knowledgeable man. Mohammad Jaunpuri, for example, very knowledgeable man, nothing is wrong. They're all ulama. What did they create? They created kufr. They created people who followed them, they become murtad. So did that knowledge which they have, did it help them? No. Took them in the opposite direction. Why? Because the knowledge has no taqwa with it. Bahauddin, he created the Baha'i faith. You must see the photograph of Bahauddin. Go and look, Google and see. He looks like the Shaykh al-Haram. If you look at his face, if you look at his whole appearance. Big white turban on the head, huge big white beard. What does it matter? The issue is taqwa. The issue is taqwa in the heart, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person with a little knowledge which he practices and he has taqwa is far superior to an alim who has all the knowledge of all the books, but he does not practice. Or even worse, who takes this knowledge and misuses it and creates fitna for himself and for all those who are foolish enough to follow him. So let us not fall into this trap. Let us practice what we know. Alhamdulillah, we know enough. I've said this many times before. We know enough today as we sit here, as we stand here, to enter into Jannah without learning anything more. What we know today is enough to take us into Jannah, provided we practice it. Provided we practice. For example, very simple, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the one who prays the five fard salah on time, on the day of judgment, it is my responsibility to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. What is the hadith? The meaning of it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who prays the five fard salah on time, on the day of judgment, it is my responsibility. Who is saying this? The ones who own the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who can forgive. لا يغفروا ذنوبا إلا أنت. Except you, Ya Rab. And he is saying, what is he saying? He says it's my responsibility to forgive that person and enter him into Jannah. Now, say for example, a man who knows only this one hadith. He does not know any other hadith. He knows only this one hadith. And this hadith he practices fully and completely. No salah of his is ever delayed. He prays all the salawat on time. He goes to the masjid. He prays them in jama'ah. Inshallah, he will enter Jannah. Bismillah ta'ala. And on the other hand, a person knows this hadith. And then he knows another 100,000 hadith. With the isnad, but he delays his salah. He delays his salah. With whom is he? He is with those about whom Allah said, "Fawailul lil musallin alladhina hum an salatihim sahun." So all that knowledge does not help him to get a guarantee of Jannah. Whereas the other man knows only this one hadith, but because he practices it, he is in a different place. Let us practice what we know. Let us take advantage of what we know. Let us not fall into the trap of those who keep gathering stuff, and all of that gathering is of no use to them because they don't make use of it. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to wake us up and to enable us to do that which is beneficial for us and to help us to prevent us from the wasawis of shaitan, who always seeks to take us into, lead us, to misguide us and take us into Jahannam. We ask Allah to forgive us and to protect us from Jahannam and to help us to take advantage of these days. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today there are people standing in Arafat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all their du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower them and cover them with His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to take us there and to have us among those people standing in Arafat again and again as long as we live. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be merciful to us as it is His right to be merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us because there is no one except Him who can forgive sins. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.